The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation and production. Visit our website at cspn.us for more episodes of the Gridiron Gals. And don't forget to click on the Keep Our Podcast Free link and visit our sponsors to help keep this podcast free for you. You can fuck with me if you wanted to. These expensive, these is red bottoms, these is bloody shoes. Hit the school, I can get them both, I don't wanna choose. And I'm quick, cut a nigga off, so don't get comfortable. Look, I don't dance now, I make money moves. Say I don't gotta dance, I make money moves. Welcome back to the Gridiron Gals podcast. I am Rita, aka the NFL Chick.
And this is Chelsea, a.k.a. Chelsea's Right.
And we apologize. We know we've been gone for quite some time. The truth or the lie?
Oh, I was going to say, you're apologizing. I'm not sorry.
Okay, so somebody's not sorry. I apologize to the people that look for us because
people
do ask, like, what's up with the podcast? What's going on? What y'all doing? So we apologize. We have not given you good content. We have just not been feeling the NFL right now.
Yeah. We're very turned off by the NFL, but you know, of course, the NFL is always a drama queen, and they always have stuff to talk about. So there was no way for us to avoid this week, and we weren't really purposely avoiding. We were just doing other stuff, like a happy hour,
living life,
having a good time. So, so let's get into it.
Yeah, we're back now. All right, first things first, we got to talk about the big news, which is Deshaun Watson going down with an ACL injury. He is out for the season, of course. In a year that we have already seen big players go down, like Odell Beckham Jr. and Aaron Rodgers, J.J. Watt. I mean, is this the most depressing in terms of players being injured, star players being injured that you can remember? Do you remember another year when so many players went down like this?
I can't remember so many marquee players going down like this. The Texans, I mean, losing J.J. Watt and now losing Deshaun Watson in practice, non-contact injury in practice. Like, I don't remember anything like this. Aaron Rodgers, of course, and then, you know, so many people getting hurt. Sam Bradford, we can't really talk about him, but Sam Bradford is always hurt.
Right.
I'm just like, how many people are getting, even if they did come back, they may have left the game. Jameis Winston had a shoulder injury. Andrew Luck.
Yes.
I don't know what is going on with Andrew Luck and his shoulder. But we're working on a 2-year injury here or something like that, or a year and a half injury. Yes. Like,
it happened at the end of the 2015 season, yes.
Yo.
I think what happened is I think there was some botched practices. I think something went wrong in his surgeries and he's not healing. And I hope that I'm wrong, but I feel like we are seeing the end of Andrew Luck, which is very unfortunate because coming out of Stanford, I thought he was a very good and smart player. The Colts have not given him an offensive line to play behind. And so to see him be hurt for nearly 2 seasons, and then finally they say we can't do it and he's not officially healthy, that's a problem. Something went wrong. And it's really unfortunate.
Yeah, and he... You know, when I think about, like, practice, I mean, I think they tried to let him practice. They're not even letting him practice. They're not letting him throw anything like that. And let him get beat up. They let him get beat up for a long time. I'm surprised he lasted that long. But yeah, we're seeing a lot of injuries. And, you know, I don't know, Rita. I can't help but think that there might be a little curse on the NFL. What you think?
I don't think I'm not against that theory. I think that, you know, hey, this y'all treat people a certain kind of way and – maybe this is your karma. This is your karma.
And it's quarterbacks getting hurt. Yeah. But you know what? The Texans can see what they can do with, who is that, Mike McGowan, Mark McGowan, Matt McGowan? Matt McGlowan, yeah. Him.
Yeah.
See what y'all can do with him. You didn't even give Cap a call. So you're not even considering him. Lovely. Enjoy the rest of the season.
So, yeah, it's unfortunate, but this has just been one of the worst years I can remember, and it's crazy. Speaking of which, and more craziness, is the Ezekiel Elliott situation with Dallas. He's suspended. He's not suspended. He's suspended. He's not suspended. We're back to him being suspended for 6 weeks. What do you expect the Cowboys to do in his absence, Chels? Because we know that, you know, obviously you're a Cowboys fan. What do the Cowboys have to do to continue to maintain, to hang with Philadelphia or the rest of the NFC and get a wild card spot while he is not able to play?
I think the Cowboys are going to be relying. I know that the Cowboys are going to be relying on a running back by committee, and that will consist of Alfred Morris, DMC, and Rod Smith, who is the brother of Jalen Smith. And we're just going to see if we can make this thing work. Look, I really don't have any high expectations. Just like the NFL is cursed, I think the Cowboys are cursed. I think the owner talks too much, and he gets on my nerves, and he has ruined the last 3 weeks for me. I've been like the answer. I just today, honestly, just today put reference to the Cowboys back in my bio on Twitter. I took it off after that Green Bay game, after Green Bay and after Jerry's comments, which I don't think he would have made those comments about the protest had we won that game versus Green Bay. I think he was in his little old ass feelings and talking shit. But yeah, I think the Cowboys are cursed. I think that we, out of the six games, we won't get Zeke back until week 15. I think that we possibly could squeak out 2 wins. I'd be surprised. I would love to be wrong. I would love to be to get Zeke back in a playoff and be able to maybe get to the playoffs. But the Eagles are way too good. And as long as the NFC East is people keep on winning in the NFC East, we're not even going to get to the wild card spots. So I'm not really optimistic about this year as a Cowboys fan. I think that's it. I think I'm ready for this thing with Zeke to be over, the appeals, the going back and forth. It's an unfortunate situation all around for anyone involved. It's an unfortunate situation that is going down like this. I do not like to see a young brother get railroaded. But not, there is no but. I do not like to see that. I do not want him to have like this domestic violence label, especially if that is not what happened.
Right.
Many people have labels. You are labeled for things that they did not do. Many Black people are labeled for things that they did not do. So, I mean, that's basically it. But very little about Ezekiel, because I still think he a dumbass. So I still think he's dumb. Like, I still, you know, and if for anybody who's read all of the reports and the documents and all of the messages and all of this stuff, he was still dealing with this girl after she accused him.
Right. Well, that ain't uncommon, unfortunately.
Hey, man. You know, and then the pulling up the shirt, and then Labor Day weekend, he on the boat with the girls. And stuff. I said, oh, you're not a lesson learner.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, part of me is like, I'm just ready for it to be over. You fight to the end. I appreciate you fighting to the end, but I'm just ready. Go ahead and sit down for 6 weeks. You got a lot to think about. And it'll piss Jerry Jones off real bad, which actually makes me feel better. It makes me feel good inside knowing that Jerry Jones might not sleep for 6 weeks.
Let's stick with this Jerry Jones topic, because I think that I think Jerry Jones has inserted himself somewhere else that many people don't know about.
Which
is the Papa John story.
Papa
John, I don't know his real name. We just gonna call him Papa John, allegedly came out and spoke that the protests are why his sales of pizza, and that the owners and the commissioner, he didn't say the owners, he said the commissioner, should have nipped this in the bud over a year ago. We later find out that Jerry Jones owns about 100 or so Papa John chains. And it's like 49%. So he doesn't have 50%. I'm sure that's some type of legality that he couldn't, but he has 49%. He has been in numerous Papa John's commercials, I guess, in the Dallas area. We probably wouldn't have seen it, but if you go on YouTube, I'm sure you can put Papa John's, Jerry Jones. He's in the commercials like Puffy, all in the video. So I'm led to believe that Mr. Papa John is getting some basically being a puppet to someone being a puppet master.
That's very likely. That's very likely. Jerry is very influential. And he may have signed his little homeboy Papa John's up to get played. So, I mean, basically everything you said was right. Jerry Jones has stake in Papa John's. He owns, you know, separate franchises. Papa John's is the pizza of the NFL. Living here in the DC area, when the Redskins score a touchdown, you get free pizza or something, and you know they're all in FedEx and things like that. So yeah, basically, Jerry Jones is mad as hell right now, because he just knew, and he ran his mouth, he just knew Ezekiel Elliott was going to get off. And Ezekiel Elliott, I mean, honestly, like, this is 2-year-old stuff. So he just knew they're not going to find enough. And it is very odd that they're suspending him 6 games this year when last year they couldn't find enough. But anyway, so Jerry wants to sabotage Roger Goodell's relationship with the rest of the owners, and he wants to end that contract. Yeah. Or I think they may have signed a new contract, but, you know, he wants to sabotage him. He wants to get back at him. He's pissed. He's having a temper tantrum. He's being Donald Trump.
Yep.
And so what he's doing is he's using his boy, Papa John, as a puppet. And guess what happened for that? $70 million in revenue is what happened. Mm-hmm. 70 mm-hmm. in a day. Honey, I will call Jerry Jones back, and you on your own.
Child.
You on your 17 million. Your pizza ain't even that good for you to be talking shit. This is what
it really isn't.
Your pizza ain't even that good for you to be talking shit like that. We local pizzerias, I know that you can find in Baltimore the good local pizza dude that make a pizza 10 times better. I can go right to Ann Pizza and get all kinds of stuff on my pizza and not all of that heavy sauce and heavy cheese. Yep. Your shit ain't that good for you to be talking shit out here. And we already know you are a racist. You don't want to pay health insurance for your employees, and you went all in on Obama trying to keep employees at a rate where you didn't have to submit pay for their health care, or you're gonna charge more for pizzas because you got to pay for health. Dave, man, fuck you.
Yeah,
70 million. I hope it's 170 million by tomorrow.
I do too. I agree with everything you said. I really have nothing to add except good. I mean, fuck your pizza. This shit nasty and it's expensive. We can find better options. And look, I don't even like Little Caesars pizza, but when you find out the things that he's done, the philanthropist that the CEO of Little Caesars has done, it make me want to go buy some. I ain't gonna even lie. I mean, that shit gross. It ain't good.
Look, my brother swear by Little Caesars. He might be the only person.
Are you serious?
Listen to me. He came back. He said, the kids said they want pizza. And I said, Dad, he got here real quick. He had to order the pizza and wait for it. He ran right to it. He said, I ain't had to wait for it. It was already hot and fresh when I got there. I said, boy, I know you ain't step up in here with some pizza. Yes. And the kids tore it up. Guess who didn't tear it up? I said, I'm not eating this. I'm going to drive and go get me some Chick-fil-A. I'm not eating this pizza.
At this point, like, I might be down to heaven just in terms of major chains, because we love Ann Pizza.
Major chains, yeah.
You know, Ann Pizza is not nationwide yet. I might have to buckle down, eat that nasty ass Little Caesar's pizza in the name of justice, okay? Sometimes you gotta fight to do it. Okay? It might be nasty, but shit. Fight the power.
I've been called Little Caesar's protest pizza.
Yeah, protest pizza. That's what you gotta call it. Give me some of that protest pizza.
Protest pizza.
Okay? So,
oh man,
you know, okay, so let's get into some on the field stuff. So we've had okay. Some trades go on and a lot of big stuff has happened. You had Kelvin Benjamin from Carolina get traded to Buffalo, Jimmy Garoppolo getting traded to San Francisco, Jay Ajayi going to the Eagles. This has been one of the most busiest trades I've seen in the NFL in quite a long time.
Right.
And then finally the Browns still by fucking up, potentially going after AJ McCarron, and then that didn't go through. So I guess my question is, who had the most to lose and who had the most to gain out of the trades that we've seen thus far?
Honestly, I really can't tell. Because I don't know why some of these trades happen. Like, I know for Kelvin Benjamin, I know that what is being said is that the team is looking for more speed. And you know, Kelvin Benjamin is kind of that big guy, you know. I think they're looking for more speed. I think he's a great addition to the Bills. So, I mean, look. I mean, so I guess the Bills had the most to gain on that one. They probably couldn't really... I mean, I don't know what he even gave up for him. And he's not playing tonight, FYI. Game's on now. You know, by the time you hear this, they'll be over, whatever. But he's not playing. I guess I really don't know who had the most to gain, because none of them really make sense. Like Ajayi to the Eagles. I'm like, don't the Eagles have enough running backs? Like, what are they trying to say about LeGarrette Blount? That's kind of odd to me.
Yeah.
That's kind of odd to me. And he was making – I saw some quotes from him, so I'm just going to, you know, work. And LeGarrette Blount has been on several teams, and some teams he's been on there more than one time. So, not really sure. Jimmy G to the 49ers, though?
Yes, yeah.
Hey, man, what Kirk Cousins got to say about that? he is, you know, he probably was already, you know, looking at condos out there in San Francisco.
He was already.
Was ready. And look, he's not even going to play this year. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Garoppolo is not scheduled to play this year. So far, he's not scheduled to play.
I got to see that to believe that.
I don't see why. What did you trade for? And you let Brian Hoyer go.
Exactly. So you mean to tell me that that young man that we have seen the past couple weeks, that the only time that he played decent was against the Redskins, and then the rest of the week he's in shit in bed. You want to tell me that you're going to roll with? Now, it's possible because maybe you want the number one pick, but you also need to see what your quarterback can do, the one that you just traded for, that is essentially going to be a free agent. So I guess I just find that hard to believe that that's their plan. I get that you only have a top five pick anyway. We're halfway through the season. You ain't got no damn wins. So I'm going to go ahead and guess that you're going to be a top five. Maybe, okay, top three, if not the top pick. You and Cleveland are going neck and neck on who's having the top pick. And it's going to be very hard to knock y'all off on that tip. Right. So nothing is hurting you for Garoppolo, because you don't even have the weapons anyway that he can really utilize to be a good team. That part is weird to me. Right. I don't understand the Calvin Benjamin trade, because you had speed in Sammy Watkins and you traded him to LA. And Calvin Benjamin's not fast. He's fat. He's out of shape. Now, if you wanted a red zone target, okay, that's fine. But if you want me to believe that you got that dude specifically for speed, okay, I got some shit to sell. I got some shit to sell that we can just, let's make a pyramid scheme right now. I mean, shit, we can just, if we're going to fake everybody out, then we're going to fake everybody out, because y'all lying.
Right.
You had Anquan, but Kelvin Benjamin is probably the closest to Anquan Boldin, who technically is still a Bill, but he's retired. I feel like that that's what they were going for, which makes sense because you want that big body presence inside the red zone. But when they said speed, I was like, well, you had that, so I really don't know what you think you're getting out of this. But the Buffalo Bills, they just the Bills. I mean, they gonna do what the fuck they wanna do. I don't know. Because they don't like Tyrod, and he's done nothing but play well anyway.
Right.
You know, I agree with you with LeGarrette. I have no idea what it is that about him that they don't like. Somebody has brought up the idea that LeGarrette Blount may be a system type of guy, which I don't know how hard, I don't know how much I'm willing to believe. He's played in Pittsburgh before. He's done pretty decent. He's gone other places and played well. Now, he's had a slow start with Philadelphia. Maybe they feel like they need to, you know, spruce up their running back committee, because remember, they did have Darren Sproles, who they lost for the year. So they, I believe, always thought that they could rotate. So Ajayi just may be that piece that they thought that they was going to have with Darren Sproles had he stayed healthy. I just don't really know how this is all going to play out, because you have offensive linemen that are hurt, and that's out for the season. Jason Peters, I believe. Right. So, I mean, we'll see how this works. Philadelphia. Yeah. One thing you can say, Philadelphia is trying to get a ring. They are hungry for something. They smell it, and they're hungry for it. They smell it. Yeah, they're serious. They're not fucking around. And that's the one thing that I completely get. Like, they are like, look, we don't got no Super Bowl ring in the modern Super Bowl era. And we real good right now, so what we gotta do to upgrade? Okay, this is what we gotta do. Okay, this is what we gonna do. And so I commend Philadelphia.
You know, you don't get a lot of chances.
No, you don't.
You don't get a lot of chances. You don't get a lot of chances. Like, even with the Cowboys, like, when we were hot last year.
You guys haven't even played yet,
correct? No. We haven't played the Eagles yet. No, but I'm talking about as far as, like, not getting a lot of chances. Like, last year, I always keep thinking back, like, last year might have been, like, that was the chance. You know what I mean? Because you don't get to go back and do the same thing with the same people in the same way every single year.
Correct.
Like, it changes up. So, like, players play differently. Different players are hurt. You come in with more suspensions. Like, what would the Cowboys have looked like if we had all of our defensive starters for the first four games versus, you know, instead of the ones, you know, some of them were suspended two, some of them were suspended four. Like, we didn't have David Irving for the first four games, and clearly David Irving is going to be a star. Yeah. So what would our schedule have looked like if we had him for the first four games and things like that, you know? So, like, sometimes you don't get that chance. Like, I think Ezekiel Elliott is going to be good for a long time. But is everybody going to be always clicking on all cylinders like they were last year?
Right.
You know what I mean? So I understand why Philly is like, yo, this is it. This is do or die. Every year should be do or die, because you don't know what's going to happen.
Right. I agree.
You have no clue. What? No clue.
And when you have teams like, you know, the Cowboys, who are going to be without their workhorse and Zeke, and the Packers, who are going to be without Aaron Rodgers, you have to strike. When everybody else is down, you have to capitalize off of that, basically. And that's what the Eagles are doing. They recognize that the Giants are not having the year that they thought. The Redskins are, so they're just average at best. The Cowboys are missing their best player, one of their best players for a while. And these other teams have issues that are going to be hard to overcome. So they putting the pedal on the gas. And that's how you have to do it. I can't help that everybody. I can't help if Aaron Rodgers isn't playing. I can't help if Zeke is suspended. I got to do what I got to do to make sure I get to the Super Bowl. And that's what has found themselves doing. And shout out to them. They said they're not playing with your horse. That's what they said.
I'm going to tell you one thing. I'm going to have to move off of Earth if Philly wins the Super Bowl, Rita.
Girl, let me tell you something. I always thought that God did not bless one of the most annoying fan bases. If he finds some way, this is how you know. If Philly wins, this is how you know that 2016 was the last year of any kind of sanity, and everything else, we just didn't fuck the Matrix, dog. This is how you know. If the Eagles win the Super Bowl, we in the fucking Matrix, and this is Trump's America. I swear to God.
It's a rap, reader. Like, we got to move off Earth. And I know it's some billionaires out here that are already, they already out here. They putting their money on some planet they didn't discover. They ain't telling us about. I'm going to find the planet, and we going to.
Well, I need them to take me. I want them to take me. Since y'all want us to go back to Africa so bad, just take me to the other planet. We good. I promise you.
Drop me off. They got Wi-Fi there? Drop me off.
So I can talk to y'all peasants on
planet Earth. I'm telling you, I won't be able to survive planet Earth if Philly wins the Super Bowl. I cannot take it.
Well, cross your fingers that, you know, hey. Let's not even speak that.
We got to move on because I'm getting upset. I'm in my feelings.
Okay, I don't want you to be upset. Let's move on. Let's move forward. Let's go to some college football. So,
hey now. Oh, it's arguing time.
Arguing time. So the first installment of the playoff committee is this week. It means nothing, but it gives us leeway to argue. So you have Georgia topped the list, followed by Alabama and Clemson. With Oklahoma at 5 and Ohio State at 6 on the outside looking in, waiting for one of them to fuck up. So, of course, you know, Twitter was interesting. I didn't see many people complain about it as I thought I would. But I'm curious to know your thoughts. Obviously, you're an Alabama fan. So, you know, I thought that yesterday people were going to be like, oh, my God. And interestingly enough, most people were like, no, it's pretty cool. I'm with it. So, you know, I mean, I guess I'm curious to know where you stand with it, because one of your team is one of the teams that's in the Final Four so far.
Right. So I just, you know, I guess it doesn't bother me. I mean, look, there are still games to play. This whole lineup could look different in a few weeks. But, you know, they put this out because they like arguing. Yep. They like to see us fall all apart, and I played right into it last night because Georgia has been so excited, and they have been good this year, and they have been so excited. They, you know, Penn State losing put them in the definitely boosted them. And I just don't like to see them happy.
Right.
The only thing is that now, as far as our fearless leader Nick Saban, he probably is thrilled because he doesn't want all of that number one stuff. He doesn't care. He doesn't care. He don't even really care about, like, he I think he likes winning, but I mean, he cares about winning, but he ain't happy when we win. So I don't even know what he wants. So right. He doesn't like all of that pressure and all of that stuff about being number one. It doesn't mean anything to him. The only thing that means something to him is the championship game. So I guess if you think about it like that, yeah, but I just don't like seeing Georgia at number one over Alabama. And I'm sure that the Paul Feinbaum show was very, very interesting.
I don't have a problem with it because if you look at the Final Four, you have Georgia who beat Notre Dame, who is ranked number 3. So based on strength of schedule and teams that they have beaten,
right,
Georgia does win that battle.
Right.
But my theory, though, is that Georgia is not out of the water because, and this has nothing to do with the SEC championship. I firmly believe that if Alabama and Georgia both go into the SEC championship undefeated, they'll both be in the playoff. Whoever wins that game will be number one. Whoever doesn't will probably be number three, right?
Right.
My issue is that Georgia has one and a half games because people kept trying to bring this other game up to me, and I'm not sold that this game potentially is an issue for them, but it could be because of the triple option. You got Auburn. Both teams have to play Auburn, by the way. We know Alabama plays Auburn, but Georgia does as well. And then Georgia, their rivalry game is against Georgia Tech, who runs the triple option very well. So Georgia has two teams that are going to test them down the line. I'm going to go back to 1.5 because I really don't know how much credit I'm going to give Georgia Tech with this. Okay. But they got 1.5 teams on their schedule remaining that could potentially be spoilers for them. I don't feel that way about Alabama, although maybe I should, but Auburn has lost, I believe, two games already. And so I don't feel as strong as about Alabama potentially losing to Auburn like I do about Georgia, only because we still don't. We see how Georgia is dominant, but there's a part of us that still doesn't know. Just because this is all new, we know what Nick Saban does. We still don't know what Kirby Smart does.
And so that's unpredictable.
Yeah. I think that the teams that really need to be on the lookout are Notre Dame and Clemson, because you got Oklahoma and Ohio State on your ass. And so you need to find a way to win out. If they win out, they're in. If somebody make a mistake, they're not getting back in.
You out.
Yeah. Somebody else is going to find you. Somebody, because you still, because even behind Ohio State and Oklahoma, right? This has been a crazy year, right? You have all these teams that have lost. You have Iowa State, who has beaten two top five teams. That hasn't happened in over 12 years, right? So this has just been a crazy year. But if somehow, some way, one of the top four teams loses, and then Oklahoma and Ohio State lose, you still got Penn State. Shout out to the Barkley High. And TCU.
The Barkley High. We here.
Right behind them. So this is the part that I hate about not having a 6 or an 8-game playoff, because all of those teams would make it so good. It would, because of the mess, because of the chaos. It would be a mess, but it would be great for college football, and the ratings would be so good. But they don't like great things yet, the NCAA. So we're just not going to get that anytime soon, I guess.
I think it's going to come, though. I think the 8 games is going
to
come.
You got to, right?
Yeah, I think it's going to come.
I feel like you have to, because those four teams, it's just not enough. You got, if you're the NCAA, you know that there are certain teams that have certain fan bases that you need to get in big games. Ohio State, Oklahoma, Penn State, those teams that are on the outside, people want those teams. They want to see those teams. And people will pay money to see those teams. You got to find a way to expand this playoff so you can get everybody involved. And so y'all can continue to make more money off these damn kids like you've been doing. But that's another story for another day.
Right.
All right. Ohio State, JT Barrett, who had a very slow start this season, obviously has picked up very well. They beat Penn State in a great game. I think you and I were at first, Barkley High had his, this was in the bag. But is JT Barrett, has he covered some ground recently in your mind?
He's been playing long enough, he should have. You know JT Barrett been playing college football way too long.
Yes, he has.
He should be like, I ain't gonna... I saw people talking about, oh, this puts him in the Heisman conversation, and I'm what?
you don't believe that it puts him in a conversation.
You know what it is? I don't like how easily someone gets into the conversation.
Okay. Fair.
You know what I mean? Because, so the comment that I heard was, oh, everybody's talking about Saquon Barkley. This was one of their announcements. I don't know who it was. Somebody dumb. You know, came into this game looking at Heisman hopeful Saquon Barkley, but it seems like JT Barrett is the one they should be looking at.
Okay.
I mean, whatever. It was a great game. It was a great game. And I know these games are how the Heisman conversations come up. I mean, even Geno Smith was Heisman Geno for a while, and then that went away. But, you know, I just don't like how easily somebody is in the conversation.
It's so weird to me. We're not talking about Baker Mayfield. That Baker Mayfield, he has actually played very well this year, and we're just
very well.
we're not really having a conversation. We, meaning people in general, aren't really having conversations about Baker Mayfield. He has to be a finalist, right? Like, he could potentially win this if Barkley doesn't have a couple more splashy games, I feel. I feel like he right. could potentially sneak this one out and get a win in that ceremony because, like, he's playing very well. And it's just so funny to me that we're not talking enough about him. I don't know.
I don't know why. I don't know how some people get in the conversation. You know, how did Baker Mayfield get so, I mean, not get in the conversation as much as Sam Darnold, who I'm not impressed with.
Sam Darnold is an interesting, while you bring him up, let's talk about Darnold for a second. This is an interesting player. He's a guy that people have very high hopes about for the Heisman. He has not played well. The rumor now is going around that Darnold is potentially staying in the college ranks for another year just so he cannot be drafted by Cleveland. Okay, but this is the Cleveland Browns. So
they're going to be in the next year, boo.
They're going to be there next year. I'm sorry. Now, this is where I don't get that logic because we've seen this happen before. Eli Manning said, I'm not going to San Diego. John Elway said, I'm not going to Baltimore. You don't have to sign the deal, Sam Darnold. What's the fuck? Oh, I know who Aaron Donald is from the Rams. Sam Darnold, you don't have to sign your deal. If you don't want to play for the Browns, you don't have to sign your deal. It ain't that fucking hard. So you staying back doesn't do anything. You need to go while the iron is hot, whether I think that you're good enough or not, because I don't. I do think you need some work. But look at Cardale Jones. He could have been a potentially late first-round pick, and then he stayed back because Urban Meyer begged him to, and then he went somewhere mid-round and lost a ton of money.
A whole lot of money, and I don't even know where he is now. Is he with the Bills still?
That's the last thing I remember is that he was with the Bills.
I forgot all about him. Forgot all about Cardale Jones. But with Sam Darnold, what made him think he was going – he stayed in another year because he was afraid he was going to Cleveland. What made him think he was going to be the first pick overall? Because that's what Cleveland going to get, the first pick. He thought he was going number one.
Yep.
He said, I'm the baddest thing out here. I said, well, I mean, you might have been number three or four. You never know. Yep. You never know. But it's not far-fetched for him to think that way just because so many teams need quarterbacks. I mean, and if you have a particular skill set and you can be developed and all of that good stuff, it's likely. But, I mean, you don't know. Cleveland has a lot of picks. You might not have been number one. They may not get the number one pick, but they may have a whole lot of other picks. Never know.
Yeah, very true. All right, so this weekend you got some really good games. You got Oklahoma State and Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And your boys, Bama, plays LSU. This is their yearly outing. So we got some good games this weekend. I don't think for one second that they're not going to win Alabama. So I don't even want to talk about that.
Oh, I didn't worry about that.
Yeah, I see. Look.
I'd be watching it and be stressed out the whole time. Then I'd be like, oh, I ain't worried about that. Even in the beginning, like, sometimes we start off a little slow and, you know, let people think that we're going to let them win. I don't like stuff like that. I ain't satisfied till the score is 70-0.
Yes, I know. There's about six games amongst ranked opponents, including the two that I mentioned, Clemson and NC State, which Clemson needs to win. They're going to be on a road, but they need to win so they can stay in that top four because NC State, they're ranked 20th. Stanford and Washington State is playing. I already said that. Virginia Tech and Miami, that should be good.
Mm-hmm.
That's the 8 o'clock. That's the late game. And then Arizona at USC is the night game. So, I mean, this is the perfect weekend. Like, if you have no plans, you just need to watch college football all weekend because you have a plethora of games to choose from at all different times of the day.
There's no reason to leave home this weekend, ladies and gentlemen. You can just stay all day, get some really good food. I'm going to Virginia to see my dad.
Okay.
And once he comes back from playing golf, I'm gonna call in or tell him to go pick up some Peruvian chicken.
Yeah.
And we're going to come there and I'm going to say, this is what we're going to do for the next 8-9 hours.
Okay.
Then he should recover from the World Series. Reedy, you know the World Series took him out. You know
I know.
You know he stayed up all night. You know that messed his sleep all the way up. But that's all we're going to do on Saturday. We're watching football on Saturday. Because we may be through with the NFL, but we still not through with college.
No, ma'am. And look, and they just problematic as the NFL.
They are just as problematic, but at least they ain't out here being overtly racist.
Right.
But, exactly. If you ain't on the college football track, if you have been listening to this podcast for the last 3 years, and you are not on the college football train yet, what in the world are you waiting for? What are you waiting for?
Shame on them. That's all I want to say.
It's a travesty.
Yep. All right. I think that's it, man. I mean, you know, we back, I guess.
All right. We ain't got nothing else to talk about. We can give you a little bit of a game update. The Jets are leading Buffalo 7-0. This game is probably bad. I've been glancing at it. It's probably a bad game. It's probably a bad game.
You gave way more information than I would, because I damn sure,
it's probably bad.
Yeah. All righty.
Anyway, any final thoughts, Rita?
Fuck the owners. Yeah, that's all I got.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. The NFL, I think that you should just stop all the games now, do a hard reset, power all the way down, stay down, and then come back up later on. You played yourself, NFL. This is just a hot mess. And you let Donald Trump get all up in your head, and this is just a mess. And Papa John's and your pizza's trash, and this is just a mess. Little Caesars about to be God, these people about to be in Little Caesars this weekend. I can't believe it. But anyway, shout out to Little Caesars. But I will tell you, if NFL picks up and pizza, oh, that would be clutch.
Oh, God.
That would be clutch. Anyway, yes, I agree. Fuck the owners. Fuck Jerry Jones and anything he has to say. I hope he don't sleep none for the next 6 weeks. I am sad for Zeke, but I just hope that Jerry Jones don't get an ounce of sleep for the next 6 weeks, for the next six games. That's all I really have to say. If you all can't tell, we are very disenfranchised with the National Football League. But
yes, we are.
It is what it is.
It is definitely what the fuck it is. All right, guys. Thanks for joining us. We love you. We'll try to do better next time. Maybe not.
We'll be back next week because these college football games are going to be great.
Absolutely. We here for the college and then some NFL.
All right. Comfortable. Look, I don't dance now. I make money move. Say I don't gotta dance, I make money move. If I see you now speak, that means I don't fuck with you. I'm a boss to a worker, bitch. I make bloody moves. Bloody moves.